This is Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond talking the Christian talk to walking the walk. Kind of hard to walk, though, in a society where there are great challenges like child sexual abuse, prostitution, violence against women, pornography kind of everywhere, sex trafficking that we tend to cover up, but it's very real in our society. These are things we're going to talk about today and how they tie together. And more importantly, how we got into the thick of these sexual sins as a nation and how perhaps we can find our way out. Our guest is Dawn Hawkins, Executive Director of the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. She speaks around the country about these issues and has developed a national strategy to help turn the tide. But it all starts with a person, with you, with me, as we listen, learn, and are led by God to do at least what we can in our part to make a difference. Dawn, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for covering these issues.
Well, you're the one covering them. You're all over the country covering them, and it takes a very bold stand. And I hope if nothing else comes out of this program that you get more prayer support, you know, and just people coming around and supporting your work. Our country is inundated with these areas, and most people don't really want to touch it. Even the government seems to shy away from so much it ought to be doing to curb these concerns. How did you find yourself getting into the thick of the battle, Dawn?
Well, the short story I would say is that I just saw that pornography seemed to be really affecting a lot of people around me. I was serving a mission for my church in Hungary, and I had also lived in Germany. So a couple years abroad taught me that a lot of people were struggling with broken families, self-esteem, and really a lot of women just being taken advantage of. And when I returned to the States, I wanted to get involved. And as I started doing some digging and learning more about specifically pornography's influence, I realized that all of these areas that you've listed, child exploitation, broken marriages, sex trafficking, prostitution, all these things are really connected. And it seemed like a lot of people were ignoring that. And so our goal is to help people see that they're not all happening in a vacuum, but rather many of them are fueling and resulting from one another, and pornography is kind of the fabric that's connecting it all.
You know, for years I felt that way. I felt that we're not being honest about what's going on, that there is so much viewing of pornography, and it's just creating wounds in the human heart, destroying marriages and then the family, and soon the sexual exploitation happens all over society, and it's rampant, isn't it? What statistically tell us how much viewing is going on with pornography?
Well, some of the statistics a little bit are a little skewed, but what we do know for sure is that children are getting access to pornography at ever younger ages. The average age statistically they say is age 11, although all of the therapists and teachers and parents that I'm talking to are saying that that age is more like 8 or 9. And then we know that a majority of children are accessing this regularly. They're seeking it out regularly. And also even one, I think, statistic that's interesting to note and somewhat surprising to people is that a majority of pornography is actually accessed during the day, during the workday. So this isn't only happening in, you know, people's private personal lives, but it's also happening on the job also. We've seen a slew of new research coming out in the last couple of years. Just this past December, there were two pretty large, significant research studies that came out explaining how a lot of the reasons why young men are not choosing not to pursue serious relationships or marriage is because of their involvement with pornography. And so, I mean, this is a very pervasive problem that many are struggling with.
It's heartbreaking. It really is. And you all are lobbying, the government lobbying for change in laws, or what else? Tell us what the strategy is.
Sure. Well, I wouldn't say we're lobbyists. We're a C3 organization, but we do work to try to change public policies that facilitate or foster sexual exploitation. We are in Washington, D.C. We are on Capitol Hill weekly almost, meeting, trying to get existing laws enforced. A lot of people don't realize, but our laws on the books are already very good and strong to help curb sexual exploitation. The problem is that the government's not enforcing those laws currently. We also work to change companies or corporate policies that are facilitating pornography. We have the Dirty Dozen list of 12 targets. We've gone after, for example, Verizon, who is still on our Dirty Dozen list, but as a result of our efforts, they got rid of a lot of their child-themed pornography in their on-demand video. We got Google to get rid of pornography in Google Play, which is their app store, and also advertising, pornographic advertising on the Google platform. We got the Army and the Air Force to stop selling pornography. So we do a lot of trying to change policies, really, that facilitate exploitation. But then at the same time, we try to educate the public, parents especially, on these harms so that you can make better decisions on what kind of media to consume and how to help your family.
Mm. Do you feel that if people were well educated, they really could protect their children? I can understand at home how you can put filters on your screen and then just be a filter. Just watch those kids and don't let them do things in secret, but then they get into school. Mm-hmm. Just talk a little more about how you all approach that, what struggles and victories you've seen.
Yeah, well, it's hard to be a parent. I have my second one on the way, and I'm terrified of the world that they're going to face and those choices, but there's a lot that parents can do. We are working really to change policies because parents need more help. It's not only on the parent to help protect their kid. But what parents can do is definitely have filters and protect the home wherever they can. Make sure that their friends, have filters on and that their friends' parents are aware of these issues as well. But really the most powerful tool I would argue for parents is that you need to have a strong and an open relationship with your children so they feel like they can come to you with questions about sexuality and intimacy. They feel like they can come to you and let you know when they've been exposed to material like pornography. And then as parents, you can help them make sense of this world instead of leaving them on their own to navigate, what this all means and what might be expected of them. So as parents, you definitely can't 100% protect your kids from exposure to this stuff. Not anymore. Not when smartphones are in everybody's pocket. But as parents, you can help your children navigate these very difficult situations and help them develop a sense of healthy intimacy themselves based on what the values that you hold and not on the values coming from Google.
Mm. Oh, that's really good. So that conversation, it might seem a little edgy for being out in the air with this conversation, but what kind of things should we tell our children? I mean, how would you talk to your children if they're now in school and you're thinking, okay, they need some safeguards. They need to understand the danger of this stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think you need to realize that it's not a one-time conversation, that you have to have this conversation multiple times through all of their growing up years. And there are different things you need to focus on depending on what age that your kids are. And so it's really different for your kids specifically and for their needs. But I plan to start talking to my kids when they're around 3 years old about, what's appropriate for their body and how we treat our bodies and others with respect. And starting even as young as three to help them understand that we all have dignity and worth and that, they're all special. And then as they grow older, you start to talk about a couple ideas might be, especially around sexting, which has become ever more rampant in our kids' lives. They said that, I just saw a study that I think it's 5 out of 6 teenagers have been asked to engage in sexting. So even if your kid's not doing it, they're being asked to do it. Bring it up to your kids regularly. There are always stories in the news coming up or in your local schools. And so bring that up and say, you know, ask them, has this happened to you? Do you know somebody? One thing I think that's important for parents to think about is, especially when your child is, you know, maybe more in the teenage years, instead of saying something like, hey, Johnny, do you look at pornography? Say, which will automatically put them on the defensive, say instead, hey, when was the last time that you saw these kinds of images? Because the reality of today is that likely your kids have seen this stuff, and that will help them open the door for them to explain the situation and for you to help them kind of make sense of it more. So those are a few tips, I would say.
That's very, very helpful. We need those tips. By the way, sexting, if someone doesn't know, is what basically texting images that are exposing things that should not be out there, right? Passing images on the phones. And so this is so helpful, Don, because I think what we often tend to do is not talk about it. And if we do, we do it in such a way that we're embarrassed, and it makes them more embarrassed. It makes them more defensive. It closes them off further. When we have to have healthy conversations that inform them and show them we love them and that we will forgive if they fall short. They need to learn to forgive themselves, because we all are victims here. I mean, you know, anywhere you look, you turn a TV on in the hour when children ought to be safe, and commercials come up nowadays in our country that really should not be there.
I think that's a really key point that you touch on, especially as parents or even as maybe spouses. We don't want them to feel shame. We want them to be able to come out and explain what the experiences that they've had and to move on. Because frankly, in today's world, almost everyone's going to be exposed to this, whether you seek it out or not. And so making a safe place to be able to talk about it is quite important.
I know statistically, again, this would be a hard one to answer specifically, but the level of addiction to porn, sexual addiction for various reasons, is probably quite high. And when someone becomes addicted, it's hard enough to deal with when we're in denial because of our shame. And when we're in denial and we can't get help, we won't get help. When we go to get help, it's still a challenge. It's like hardcore drugs, isn't it? Trying to get off. Talk to us a little about that and what you recommend if people are listening right now who maybe they don't want to admit to themselves they're addicted. And then if they recognize as you're talking, maybe I am, give a recommendation or two for them.
Sure. Well, the addiction topic is a little sticky, as some of the people in the psychological world argue about whether it is an addiction. But I can tell you that the neuroscience, the brain science behind it, and the science of what's happening to your body proves that it follows the same kind of addiction patterns as alcohol or drugs like cocaine and heroin. It definitely it changes the brain. And the changes to your brain actually mimic exactly what happens to a cocaine addict. So there really are physical changes. The difference with pornography is that you can't really get it out of your system like you can with physical drugs like cocaine or alcohol. With pornography, those images they remain in your brain and can be recalled at almost any time. So this is a very real problem that many, many people struggle with. And it's very hard to overcome those temptations as well. But there is a lot of hope, and there's a lot of help out there. If you go to our website, endsexualexploitation.org/resources, we have a number of addiction recovery resources for men, for women, for children, for youth who might be struggling, and then also help for those whose loved ones might be struggling. So, you know, if you're trying to help your husband or your son who seems to be struggling with pornography, you need help too. So I have a lot of resources for you there. It's endsexualexploitation.org/resources. The one thing I would say is our brains are so, our bodies are made so perfectly. It's such a miracle that, you know, we can fall into struggling with addictions, but we can also find healing, and a lot of those changes to the brain can be fixed or rewired. And so it's not that there's no hope once you've fallen into this struggle, I think a lot of people feel like there is no hope, but many have overcome this.
That's very encouraging. And I'll say, in addition to the URL, if you simply Google National Center on Sexual Exploitation, you'll be right there. And then click on their resource tab. So somebody is struggling and they get your resources. Are they going to, realistically now, if they want to find freedom and victory, you mentioned this being not just in the blood, but it gets into the soul and it just keeps, it can replay, it can come up anytime. And yet you said there's hope. Is it going to be typically a long, hard struggle to find freedom?
It is a long, hard struggle, and it's a lifelong struggle even after you've initially mastered it. Again, there are triggers out there. The fact that our society is becoming even more pornified, where there are images everywhere you look, you mentioned on TV during children's hour, on billboards and advertising on the computer, these things are going to continue to pop up. So it is, you have to be aware and you have to have safeguards around you. I'd say the best is if you have an accountability partner that you can go to. That person is usually not your spouse, but somebody else that's very trusted. You should definitely have safeguards up, like filters and those kinds of tools. And definitely, you know, I've never met anybody or heard of anybody who's overcome pornography addiction without strong faith in God. And so that's also another really important thing to help you withstand the struggles with pornography.
I'll share, this is a little funny in some ways to share, but it's a dream I had that shows how it is also a spiritual battle. One night I saw this horrendous thing coming at me like a monster, as demonic, and I realized as it was coming before me, there was porn on my lap, and I refused to look at it, and this thing went away, and I woke up shaking for some time, and I prayed, and I felt the Lord gave me a name. He said, go talk to this person who's got a problem. So I prayed and read some books and scripture, went and talked to this person. I said, you need to learn. He was shocked. I knew he had an addiction. I said, you need to learn to say prayers to the Lord, because he alone has the power. I saw the dark power that's behind this in a dream, and I don't know what to make of it. I'm just giving you, telling you, you can't overcome this by just simply trying harder. And anyway, I really believe that. I believe that, as the scriptures say, there are dark powers around us, and I think we need to forgive ourselves and close the doors and find healing. And once we get clean, there will be so much joy that we won't want to go back there.
I agree with you. And that seems to be what others are saying too. And I would just emphasize that often the spouse is overlooked. And so just a reminder to, you know, the wives out there whose husbands are struggling, that you need help and healing as well. This is quite traumatic for you to go through, and there are resources for you.
Fantastic. So if you could summarize, maybe this is impossible, the national strategy, you know, what are the cliff notes? I mean, kind of what should be happening around the country?
Well, I would say first and foremost, you have to step up and protect yourself and your family. And then you need to join the national efforts. And I think that the national strategy at this point is to go at this from a public health crisis. We realize that pornography is fueling child exploitation. It is fueling sex trafficking. It's fueling prostitution, violence against women, broken marriages. It actually has physical impact on the body. It leads to increased sexual dysfunction, to increased STIs, a whole bunch of things. And so if you're, you know, to help us really make a significant difference, we need to make pornography just unacceptable, similar to what they did with the anti-smoking or tobacco campaigns a few decades ago. We need to make it unacceptable. It's not something to just joke about, and it's certainly not something to push under the rug. So the more that we're able to help people see what the research says about pornography, how damaging it is, how it's connected to all of these other societal ills, the more progress we really are certain that we'll be able to make. Second, I would say, well, not second, maybe I already named three things, but I would say the next is to make sure that you're opposing this wherever you can in your communities. If you've got a corner store selling pornography or, you know, even Cosmopolitan magazine or something, speak up against it, about it, talk to the managers, talk to those in your community, make sure that the libraries and schools are safe from pornography. And that trickles up to the top. So that's what I think as an individual you can do. We've made it very easy. I would say our specific niche in this movement is to provide easy actions for people to take in their homes and in their communities and on a national level. So if you go to our website, you can see a slew of projects you can get involved in, whether it be, you know, you want to just send an email to, you want to put in a lot of time and effort into being a public leader. We've got a whole gamut of things for you to get involved in. Our Action Center alone has 75 actions you can take just from home in less than 1 minute. Wow. And so there are many ways to help that way. But again, the most important is to protect yourself and your family.
Very helpful. So what you're saying is we have a very strong argument for everyone, which is to say, this is the best thing for society. And we can look at history and see how societies crumble when sexuality becomes out of control, out of its normal, natural containments within the context of historic understanding of marriage. But we can say we care about people. They have value. We care about women and men who are being exploited. This is the best thing. And then we might get the words back if we're going into the library and saying, please remove these books. They might say, no, you can't do that. That's illegal. We have the freedom of speech. We have to honor that. How do we respond?
Well, particularly with the library argument, they don't have to have pornography. That's already been litigated up to the Supreme Court level. And they've found that libraries don't have to offer pornography. Also, a lot of hardcore pornography or obscenity, which is the legal term, is not protected speech. I think it's that's going to be the argument that you get often if you don't want to get into the legal arguments, which we've got posted on our website. I would say you just stick to the harms. Explain, well, okay, except for the fact that this is leading to child exploitation, to sex trafficking, to violence against women. This is leading children to act out on other children. This is leading to children having lifelong addictions before they're even able to fully make a decision themselves on their own. And kind of stick to those harms. I think people can't use the First Amendment argument anymore. We are at just a pandemic level of harm, and we can't ignore that.
Yeah, we really need to get on your website, study, and learn. Are there any other places you recommend we go, books we really ought to read, things that would open our eyes and give us good fuel and information to strengthen our arguments?
Well, I would say Fight the New Drug is a wonderful resource, especially for the younger generations. And there's another website called Educate and Empower Kids. They have, I think, the best resources for parents specifically on how to talk to your kids about these issues. Lots of creative ideas that come out weekly, the newest dangers that parents should be aware of. So I think between the three of our websites, you'll find lots of resources to help you understand, to help you become a leader. And there's books and movies and all those things listed out on those.
Okay. Dawn, I wonder if you can close us then with a final word of encouragement or challenge to wrap this up, something that you would like all the listeners to take home with them based on this interview, based on your ministry, based on the opportunities ahead, because there really is hope.
Sure. Well, what I just want people to see is I think a lot of times we feel lonely in our fight and lonely and feeling like we're the only ones who see that this darkness is really coming over and really hurting so many people. And my message that I want people to see is that you're not the only one. Just in the last few years, we've seen thousands of people joining together because they agree and they see the darkness too. They see that we have to join together and stand up. And so while, you know, you might feel lonely in your personal efforts, you're not alone. So please, I encourage you to not ignore this, not push it aside, but to join together and help us build a stronger movement. It's already swelling in America, and we've already had quite a lot of success and movement forward, but we still need more. And so if you've been feeling like this is just so difficult to overcome, I invite you to come join us. And we've got resources for, to help from, if you're struggling as parents, faith-based efforts, political efforts, so many more. So come and we will plug you in to the movement.
Dawn, thank you for taking this time, and we wish you all the best as you continue the fight. We thank God for you.
Oh, thank you very much, Bill.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening, and if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you would like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.